This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. I hope you guys are doing great. I know this is not the normal quality that we expect to see. You expect to see a Swiss, but this coronavirus is affecting so many people in different places and different areas. So inshallah, this will be kind of how we'll operate for a while until we can get all of our staff and folks. We have people that work in Gaza, we have people that work in Egypt, all of the world back on board. So I'm going to teach you usul al-fiqh inshallah this way by sharing my screen with you. So let's get started inshallah. So, and this is just a trial run. Just want to see kind of how it works. So alhamdulillah, usul al-fiqh is an extremely important subject, and we want to talk about the 10 foundations, what's called al-mabadi al-ashara. These mabadi al-ashara are like 10 things you should know before you go into a subject. I haven't really talked about them yet because I didn't want to overwhelm people, but for every subject, tajweed, tasawwuf, Arabic, you name it, ideally, if you're an Islamic studies teacher and you're teaching like high school kids, you want to think about al-mabadi al-ashara. And then of course, if you are, you know, in Islamic studies as an imam, it's good to know these things. And then as a student, if you're taking a class with someone, you can go back and evaluate and see how many of these 10 concepts that I covered before I actually started to study the subject itself. And this is something that's been done in many classical Sunni institutions for around 300 to 400 years, mashallah. So let's look at these 10 building blocks before we talk about usul al-fiqh. What are the 10 things you want to know? And I like to tell my students, it's like when you go into a neighborhood, if I were to tell you like the 10 most important things you needed to know about the neighborhood, like the post office, the bank, the mosque, you know, the grocery store. You might not know the ingredients, you might not know the names of the employees, you might not even remember the address, but you'd know the place. Then after a while, you'd be able to like format things better and better and better till you came to an understanding. So these 10 things are gonna like introduce you to the neighborhood of a science for the first time. And that's because religious scholars noted two steps needed for a person to acquire an understanding of a topic. The first is called tasawwur. Tasawwur means how to conceptualize, not comprehension, that's a bad translation. It should be how do you conceptualize a subject. You can think about taswir is a picture, right? So how do you visualize tasawwur, the subject in your mind, the neighborhood. And then tasdiq is, or takdib, you're going to affirm it or you're going to reject it. So you're going to know what it is, you're going to know what it isn't. This was the way subjects were introduced to students in Al-Azhar, I can say that as an Azhar, for a number of years until today, forming the building blocks of literacy. I've said this many times before, the goal of Swiss is not scholarship. The goal of Swiss is literacy, remember? Forming the building blocks of literacy for beginners. Here are the 10 building blocks of literacy that lead to, again, cognition. It's okay, but what we're looking is like conceptualization, right? The ability to imagine the subject, to picture it. The first is called had, translated as definition, but as you'll see later, it's a little bit more specific than just definition. The contents, like what subject matters does it address? The originator is the one who organizes in a way so that it could be used in a curriculum, who thought about it as a pedagogy, like how do you teach this? Number four is a relation. And what it means by relationship here is like what faculty does it belong to, would be a better translation. It's nisbah. So is it from like language? Is it from law? Is it from Quranic studies? Is it from theology? What are the prerequisites or the auxiliary sciences? So what do I need to study before I study this subject? Number six, or what are the fadl, means what are the professional value props learning this? Number seven is the Islamic ruling, the hukum shar'i. Is it wajib? Is it an individual obligation? Is it a communal obligation? Is it forbidden, for example? Number eight is its name. And notice how the name comes after the definition, because oftentimes a name can have a different definition, like surfing in Santa Cruz isn't surfing on your computer. So the reason that scholars didn't start with a name first is because people may differ over the meaning of a name they're using. Number nine is, what are the fawaid, what are the benefits in the hereafter of studying the subject? And then number 10 are the masail. And a better way to translate that, I made these slides years ago, mashallah, is what questions does it answer? What questions does it propose? And what questions does it deal with? Does it answer, mashallah? This is so important that you see Imam Al-Maqari. We're going to take Al-Maqari's book. It's going to be the third book we take in theology. The fourth book we take in theology. It's a book called Ida'atul Dujna fi I'tiqad Ahl Sunnah. It's a really good book. But in the beginning of that book, he talks about how to study, how to organize your study. And he says, Man ramma fan nan fal yuqaddim awwalan. Whoever, if you look right there, you can see my Man ramma fan nan fal yuqaddim awwalan. Whoever wants to master a subject, ilman bihaddihi thumma mawdu'in tala, should then start by knowing about its definition, then its mawdu', its subject matter. That's the second. وَوَاضِعٍ, who organized it as a field of study, وَنِسْبَةٍ, its faculty, وَمَسْتُمِدْ مِنْهُ, istimad means to rest on something, so it means like what does it rest on? What are its prerequisites? وَفَضْلِهِ, what are its blessings in the hereafter? وَحُكْمًا يُعْتَمَدْ, and then what is its ruling? فَرْضْ عَيْن, فَرْضْ كِفَايَة, individual obligation, communal obligation. وَسْمِنْ, its name. وَمَا أَفَادَ, its benefits in the hereafter. وَالْمَسَائِلِ, and the question it answers. فَتِلْكَ عَشْرٌ لِلْمَنِي وَسَائِلِ, and this is عَشَرَ لِلْمُنِي وَسَائِلِ, for the one who like wants to acquire and hopes to acquire the means to master a subject. وَبَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ اقْتَصَرْ, and then some ulama, some teachers, they said you don't have to do all 10. Now, that's a strong opinion. Like, you're not going to introduce all 10 to like someone who's new in their studies, or to a young person, or to someone who already knows them. وَمَنْ يَكُنْ يَدْرِي جَمِعَهَا انْتَصَرْ, but who knows all of them is like someone who is seeking help, or انْتَصَرْ, going to be aided and assisted. So if we look at this definition, this is from a book I've written that needs to be edited. Actually, it's being edited now, make dua. But this is an introduction of Sheikh Muhammad Muhyiddin Abdul Hamid introducing Arabic language. See if we can find the 10, some of the 10 building blocks, al-mabadi al-ashara, in this description of the Arabic language. He says, one scholar wrote about Arabic language, it comes from words which mean a way or a direction. As a science, it is defined, so there's the had, there's the definition one. It is defined as knowledge of what determines the grammatical reality of a word and whether it accepts grammar or not. Its subject matter, there's the mawdu', number two, is Arabic words. And its virtue, fadl, is that one understands the sacred texts. There should be a colon there. The Quran and the Sunnah, as well as learn to read, speak, and write correctly. It is its own family, so there's its nisba, right? It's the third, its faculty. And its blessings, there's the fa'ida, were stated by Umar, who said, learn Arabic and the laws of inheritance, for they are part of your faith. Its originator, mean the one who established it as a pedagogy, is Abu Aswad al-Du'ali, so there's the wadi'. And its name, there's the ism, is Nahu. And it is an infinitive, which means the passive participle, manhu. Its auxiliaries, there's mastumid minhu, so there are, right here, the prerequisites are the Quran, Sunnah, and the pure Arabic language. Its ruling is that of a communal obligation. So you can see now what I'm trying to teach you as you study with me at Swiss is not only how to read a text, but to read the text twice or three times. Because with classical texts, because they're written in a systematic way, there's layers. So here you can see as you're reading it, you're also reading it twice. You're saying, well, what are the 10 So now you can go back as an educator. You can use that as a if you're homeschooling or a teacher, right? You can use this in your rubric. If you're evaluating a lesson you've taken with somebody, you can go and ask yourself about the 10 mabadi al-ashara. Did that person cover them or not? Here's another one, and I'm going to let you do this one on your own. I'm going to post it, inshallah, in the lesson, and you can send me. I'll put this as an assignment. You have to send me where are the 10 mabari al-ashara in this definition. Sheikh al-Iraqi al-Azhari, he wrote about tajweed. Tajweed means to make something good. So we say that is jayyid. As a scientific term, it means to read the Quran as it was sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving each letter its right regarding its sound and form. It is a communal obligation to know, but acting on it is an individual one. It deals with Quranic words, and it is the most virtuous of actions. It was codified by the early scholars of Quran, and its benefit is that one will read the Quran as it was sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is based on what is found in the Quran and the Sunnah, and its name is Tajweed. I want you to go back to this. Use those 10 mabari that I gave you and identify them for me. That's going to be your assignment, inshallah, if you choose to do it. Next time, inshallah, we're going to talk about what are the mabari of usul al-fiqh. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.